This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Be the star and try and you know, you win a ring with the Knicks, even if it's only one more ring. You know, they haven't won one in, what, 45 years?
And I would never begrudge Kevin Durant for that. Like I said, much like I didn't have an issue with him coming to the Dubs in the first place. And I don't think Warriors fans should be angry at Kevin Durant if he does decide that it's time for another challenge. Some guys are wired that way, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. Look, you sign a contract, you have clauses in your contract, he can opt out or choose not to. He created that reality for himself by being a commodity, by being a sought-after entity, and it's a credit, really, to the NBA Players Association and the amount of control and power that they have as compared to other professional athletes and other professional sports. If he decides to go, so be it. Like, just remember that he helped you win, what, two titles so far and maybe potentially a third. Here's the other thing that I think we should never forget, John Dickinson. The Golden State Warriors won. I went full John Dickinson right there, by the way.
It's okay.
The Warriors won 140 regular season games, 31 playoff games, had one title, and another one just slipped through their grasp by an unfortunate set of circumstances before Kevin Durant ever wore a Warriors uniform. We never should forget that.
We shouldn't forget it. However, the follow-up there is, are you one of those that believes that they could do that again, let's say, for a year?
I do.
Like, if
I do.
Durant leaves, they could...
You think that Bob Myers isn't going to find somebody to plug in there? Obviously not to the level of Kevin Durant, but you give me another quality with Draymond, Clay, and Steph, and the rest of this cast of characters. Maybe Iguodala's got another run in him. Absolutely. I do. Who's beating him in the West?
I'm not sure that core, the core of Curry, Clay Thompson, and Draymond Green with an average three-man and maybe a better bench, I'm not sure that team could win it.
They've already done it.
That core could win another one.
They've already done it.
But my point is, win it, what would be 5 years later?
I think they could. Let me ask you this. And obviously, it depends on how a lot of these free agent dominoes fall this offseason.
It depends on where Durant would go.
100%. If he's playing in the East, I think he got a much better shot. I'll say that right now.
I think they would have been more likely to do it, let's say, 2017, when they were still very close.
If he never came in the first place. I look back
at it and I go, God, that is 4 years since the 73 win team at that point and 5 years since that core won the championship in 2015. They'd be trying to do it in 2020. I think that would be tough when you look at all of the years stacked on top of each other.
100% it would be tougher. There's no question about it. These guys are all a little bit older, a lot of miles on their basketball odometers. But I still just look at the way the Western Conference is populated right now. I'd probably think the Thunder would be in the conversation, depending on who LeBron's able to recruit to L.A. The Lakers might be in the conversation. The Kings are going to be better. But there's something about being in that moment in a playoff game, and ask the Houston Rockets, who went, what, 0-for-27 from three-point range in Game 7 at home. There's something about that level of experience. I grew up, my old man's from Chicago, I grew up watching Jordan's Bulls, right? And that was my team growing up. I knew that the Bulls were going to win those games. Why? Because they'd been there and they'd done that. And when it was on the line in a playoff game, in a critical moment in a playoff series, you knew that these guys were going to deliver. And to that end, I'll bet on Curry and Clay and Draymond, the guys who I know have done it, other than your Hardens and your Westbrooks, the guys who have come close but never got over the hump. So I think their experience would matter in that regard. And I think a lot of these guys, whoever's left over, should Durant decide to leave, I think they would take that as, okay, well, go ahead and doubt us. Doubt us at your own peril. Nobody thought the Golden State Warriors would ever win a title in the first place. Nobody ever thought Steph Curry, I wouldn't say nobody, but most people didn't think Steph Curry could be the leader of a franchise, to be a guy, the face of a team that won a title, which he's already done. So would it be a longer road to go? 100%. I mean, you know, the Western Conference is stacked. I mean, think about how much great talent there is in the NBA right now. But I'll tell you this, I'm not betting against them. You know why, JD? Because they haven't given me any reason to bet against them.
I'd take the field.
Well, that's an easier bet.
If we're projected, but I wouldn't take the field right now.
Well, like, no, because saying, the rest of the NBA is saying the Warriors are going to win a title.
If you're saying Warriors of the field right now, I'm saying Warriors. If you're saying 2019-20, Warriors with a core of the original three, Clay and
well, they'll add,
and
they'll
Dre
add
and
two.
Steph. No, and yeah. And an average, let's say Joe average three man,
sure,
and a better bench. I think at that point I'm taking.
Is he available? Is Joe average three man? Is he on the market this year?
I think
year?
The Kings actually traded him
okay,
to
yeah.
Houston.
All right, maybe he'll be on the buyout market.
Amon Shumpert? Anyone?
No doubt about
anyone?
It. Good stuff.
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you want to weigh in on that. Hypothetical, feel free to do so. Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Brett in Livermore is up here next on 95.7 The Game as we get back to the phones. Brett, you're on with JD and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
How we doing today, gentlemen?
What's happening?
You know, I think you put such a good point on it when you said, you know, when you grew up in Chicago with, you know, Jordan and the Bulls, because you just knew they were going to get it done. But, you know, when you have these kind of teams where you have a star player, you're only as good as the team that you have with you. And I think if you start dismantling this team, then you're going to see them start to go back and fall into like the 6th, 7th, 8th seed in the West. Because like you said, the West is extremely stacked. And nowadays, you know, I want my children to see the Warriors as a dynasty. Like when I grew up, the Lakers and the Celtics were the dynasty. And I want the Warriors to have that. Because I've been a Warriors fan since I'm 36. And I want the Warriors to have exactly what, you know, if my kids go, well, you know what, the Warriors were that good. They were the legacy. They got seven championships in 10 years. I mean, I'm not trying to be greedy, but I mean, at the same time, that's how you build legacies. And I think right now with what they have, I think they have the chance to do it. And I feel like they really can with if they keep everybody intact. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of Warriors fans out there that believe, oh, yeah, they'd do it. They would absolutely do it. I go back to look how hard it looks for this group as is at times. And I extrapolate that into, okay, take Kevin Durant away and add an average guy and add, okay, yeah, you're going to get a couple bench players that are going to be better too. Maybe, you know, some of the strength in numbers thing can be recreated.
Sure.
You know, that's a cute story. It's really strength in stars. The strength in numbers thing died.
Strength in the right numbers.
The strength in numbers thing died a couple of years ago, although it's great for the fans.
Sure.
They
are the numbers.
It's a cool-looking shirt. It really is.
Yeah.
But, I you know, to me, it's been strength in stars for a while. But I do think there's a lot of Warriors fans that are with you that think, yeah, those three lock in next year. They'd go get it. They'd show Kevin Durant. F you for leaving.
Right. Well, here's the other thing, too, and we can't lose sight of this. The ownership group of the Golden State Warriors are getting this big old beautiful barn built here in San Francisco that we're going to go and enjoy for generations to come. And what a beautiful thing that is. The city of San Francisco needed something like this for so long. And since they footed the bill for that bad boy, JD, they know better than anybody. You want to keep those butts in those seats and you want to justify charging $15 for a margarita and courtside seats costing thousands of dollars. Got to give me something to go see. Got to give me some star power. So even if Kevin Durant chooses to walk, I have never seen anything from this ownership group that has indicated that they won't go out and make that splashy move, whatever is required. They will make it happen because they've got to fill that place up. It didn't come cheap. We know that. And what has Joe Lacob ever shown you that would make you think that he's not going to do everything in his power to make it happen?
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. I just think at some point, though, it becomes easier said than done, especially when you're talking about maybe the addition of a star. And I know you're not specifically saying a star. I know
right.
You're saying...
Well, I think it could be
it could
totally
be
in the realm of possibilities.
It could be a star.
You got all that money available. Lacob will spend it.
The money's available, but the money under the cap wouldn't be available.
Well, you got the luxury tax, you know.
But if Durant goes, it's not like you got a $40 million spot.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, you've still got Iguodala's contract that goes up. You still got to figure out what you're going to do with Livingston. Klay Thompson's going to get a raise.
Hey, Bob Myers earns his paycheck. That's when he's got to get creative.
Green gets a raise. 888-957-9570. We'll take your phone calls on that. It's Warriors this week with Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, and for Matt Steinmetz on this Saturday. Steiny will be back next week. He's taking the opportunity for a little extended break during the All-Star festivities. Taking your phone calls, and one of the topics, we also have Tim Bontemps that's going to join us coming up at 11:30. Tim in Charlotte for the All-Star weekend. But one of the topics that just kind of sprung out here in the last segment was this notion of the Warriors. You know, let's say Kevin Durant leaves and they win the championship this year, as we...
The rest of the NBA has conceded that.
Everybody thinks that's going to happen, right?
Sure.
Barring some kind of catastrophic injury, may even need two injuries.
It would take two broadsides to unseat that.
Just taking your thoughts on whether or not the Warriors next year, if Durant leaves, and again, I'm saying, let's say they don't get a star, right? No, you don't get a star to replace Durant.
You get Kawhi.
You get an average three, but you roll back Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, that core, plus a couple of bench pieces, plus, let's say, an average, you know, veteran three-man.
Is Boogie leaving too? He's not taking
out
mid-level exception raise?
No, Boogie's out.
Okay.
Boogie's playing for the Knicks.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe with Durant.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Let's throw it out there. Or the Clippers.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that. But yeah, could this team, or would they be the favorite to win the championship? It is probably the best way to put it. And you think higher of their chances in that scenario than I do.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it would be a done deal, clearly, because we have to see how the rest of the landscape in the West shapes up. Like, where does Anthony Davis end up? What are the Thunder able to do this offseason? Because I do think the Thunder, with that core, Paul George has been playing out of his mind. And while I'm not the biggest fan of the Russell Westbrook experience, that's a team with their size, with Adams inside as well. They're a factor. But there are a lot of other dominoes that need to fall before we could accurately depict, okay, well, what's the measuring stick? You know, who are they going against? But as constituted right now, yes. If you had to tell me, Kevin Durant's gone, but I still got Curry, Clay, and I got Draymond, and I got, you know, a decent replacement for Kevin Durant, obviously not of his ilk, but somebody serviceable. Yeah, man, I'm taking the Warriors, because at the end of the day, what's the task at hand? Beating them 4 out of 7, right? You still got to beat them 4 out of 7 times. And I just think the Warriors would do enough in the regular season. Maybe they wouldn't be the top seed. But my main sticking point is, well, who's going to beat them? I mean, that's it. Okay, so let me ask you then. Who's your team then? Who's beating them?
Well, I think at that point, the door would be open for a lot of teams. I think all the teams in the East currently that are in the top spots, I think, you know,
I think navigating
Oklahoma
the West
City would be back in the conversation. I think at that point, I think whatever the Lakers wind up doing, they're going to be in a position. The Rockets are always gunning, although they're having a down year for them. I think there would be 6-7 teams that would all be in the mix. I'm not saying the Warriors would be seventh.
I hear what you're saying.
But I think there's a group of 6 or 7 teams, at least 5 or 6.
It's funny. I forget about the East. I really do.
Well,
the East
has the second through fifth maybe best teams in the entire league.
100%. I agree. My point is, when talking about the notion of the Warriors, you know, navigating their way to another title, you know, to me, the task at hand would be, okay, we'll get through the West. And then, you know, in the NBA Finals, all bets are off. You know, we'll see what the matchups are and how everybody's health is and things of that nature. But as far as just navigating through the West, I just still feel like the Warriors, would it be as smooth of a ride? Oh, of course not. I mean, having Kevin Durant is the main difference maker in all of this, but I think they'd still be the favorite.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, but let's get back to the phones, and that's where Steven in Vallejo checks in. Steven, you are on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Steven.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First and foremost, Ryan, I'd like to say welcome to 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, and I think for your first show, you couldn't pick a better co-host than JD.
Hear, hear. I heard that.
Yeah. And so just to touch on next season really quick, in Bob we trust. You know, I actually,
nice.
I don't care either way if Durant stays or goes. I think he's put in, you know, more than enough good time here for this franchise. And as far as the history of the franchise, can I just say Todd Fuller and one of the best draft classes maybe in all of history? I mean, that's where the Warriors were. But in Bobby Trust, I don't think Lake is going to have a problem throwing money anywhere. He's highly competitive, and I know that he wants to keep the Warriors at least in the conversation for another championship if Durant were to go. And I think Iguodala is going to retire after this year. I think that's why we've seen an uptick in his play. It's my hot take.
Steven, that's a hot take because I don't think Andre Iguodala is giving up the $16 million for next year. I really don't. I think he's too much of a businessman to know that there's a lot of things he can do with that money. You may be right, but I don't see him giving that coin up. I think that was a big part of the reason he came back was making sure he got that cash coming on the back end.
What if he were to negotiate maybe a partial buyout or a buyout of the remaining part of his contract? Then I think he knows that he, at this point, might be more of a hindrance to the team next year than actually benefiting the team. And I think he cares enough about the guys around him to actually consider that as an option. And just let me touch on Anthony Davis real quick. I think he's just handled this entire situation so poorly that I would love to see if New Orleans sent him to, like, Cleveland or Siberia of the NBA, if you will, and just, you know, just kind of put out there that if you're under contract and you sign a contract, throwing fits isn't going to get you what you want. Thanks, guys.
All right, Steven. Steven, appreciate the phone call. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think he made a lot of really good points there. As far as Anthony Davis, I mean, could he have possibly handled any of this worse? I don't think so. But I also think that if you're the Pelicans, it's damage control time now, baby. You gotta get what you can. I think if they would have known what was coming up this past week, they probably would have swung a deal with the Lakers and gotten whatever they could in return. Maybe they can get a bidding war this offseason. We shall see. But I think the key player in all of this, and I love that he said, "In Bob we trust," but it's Joe Lacob. Like, he's the guy signing the check, but he's Daddy Warbucks, and they're opening up that brand new facility. So they are going to make sure that everything is state of the art. Everything is as good as the best that money can buy. And if the blank check that they can hand Kevin Durant and offer him the max amount that they can offer him, if that's not enough to entice him, that'll be unfortunate. They'll say, damn, we did everything we could. That sucks. I think they will max out Clay. I don't think they have much of a choice in that. And you go to plan B. And believe me, Bob Myers, these guys, they have a plan B. They have to. You have to be planning for this contingency. But I think we both agree, JD, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves in the respect that KD hasn't even made up his mind yet. But it is fun to play the what-if scenario, no doubt.
No doubt. Brian in Pleasanton is next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Brian, you're on Warriors This Week with JD and Ryan Covey on a Saturday. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. We are a great team. I'm really enjoying this. I'm fairly new to the East, the area here. I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan, and now I can finally say that with a great deal of pride.
Atta babe.
But I'm also a Warriors fan. I've been to several games. I watch a lot of them. This is a shout-out to the fans. Since before the season even began, this drama that was induced by the fans has been really tiring on a lot of us. KD has been accused of everything from being selfish to being thin-skinned. And I think truthfully what we're hearing and why this just won't stop is because the fans are thin-skinned. The fans in this area remind me of a jilted lover. Why me? I'm perfect. How can you do this to me? How can you leave the Bay Area? How can you leave this team? They take it too personally. And they got to look at it this way. When he comes back in another uniform, if I'm at that game, I'm giving him a standing ovation because my kids and I have loved him on the team. He's been nothing but an asset to the team and the community. I wish the hell, take the line right out of his mouth, just let him play basketball. By the way, next year without KD on the team, I'm taking the Bucks. I think the Bucks are possibly one of the other teams out of the East. Without KD on the team, next year the fans in this area will realize how much of an asset he was. That's all I got, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Brian, checking in.
Yeah, and first of all, it's nice for a Bucks fan to be able to stunt a little bit. Hey,
The Bucks would be in that conversation.
Absolutely, and that's great. I think parody is a beautiful thing. Look, it's great for us out here that the Warriors are going to win the title this year. That's awesome. But for the rest of the NBA, I think it would suck to be a fan of a lot of these teams right now. But the Kevin Durant point, if he decides to leave, don't begrudge the man for that. Think about everything that he did for this team. If they win three titles in the 3 years that Kevin Durant's come here, when can you ever say that a free agent came to a city, won three NBA titles, and that's his legacy? Yeah, I played 3 years, won three titles, at least two finals MVPs. Thanks, Kevin. God bless.
Pretty strong.
Yeah. You talk about a mic drop scenario.
I think Warriors fans will definitely appreciate that. I don't think Warriors fans are going to be angry with Kevin Durant. They may not understand it, but the thing that I always say, and I've said this a couple of times, is, look, the Warriors may lose Kevin Durant for the same inconceivable reasons that they got Kevin Durant.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? It works both ways. Like, you know, you may wind up in that same position that Oklahoma City was in or whoever, but at least you got the rings to show for it. Charlie, before we get to Bontemps. Hey, Charlie, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing? I've been a Warriors fan. I've been a Warriors fan so long. I go back to Joe Barry, Barely Cares Less, and World Be Free. So I've been watching the team for 40 years from 2,000 miles away. I do think if Durant leaves next year that they would not win a title. I would pick the field. I agree with John. But I forgot what athletes said, that you should never get tired of winning. I mean, I look at it from the perspective of Durant. If he were to go to the Lakers or the Clippers, even though the Clippers wouldn't be a lateral move, it would be, they would be bringing in another superstar. I think if I were Durant, it would be continue this run with the Warriors or rebuild a team like the Knicks, which is basically a three-legged dog with fleas. But I forgot like I said, I was listening this week to Matt and Guru's show, and they had someone on, and they said you should never get tired of winning. I don't know why Durant would want to leave. Unless personally wants to rebuild the team from scratch, but it would take a lot to get the Knicks to win, man. I've been watching them closely too. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate the call there.
Yeah, you want a new challenge? Fair enough. Go play for the Knicks. You got your work cut out for you. You've got inept ownership. You've got a fan base that is basically soured on the team. That would be, and if you have an issue with some of the probing questions in the Bay Area, which I think Mark Medina hit on it perfectly. It hasn't been this narrative from the media of harassing Kevin Durant about his free agency. I just think the way that he talked about it last week was that was how it was being portrayed by him. And I thought that wasn't exactly accurate. But go and rebuild the Knicks. Whew, good luck, my man. You better bring some help with you. You better bring Boogie. Get Kawhi on the phone. That's a tall order.
All right, Tim Bontemps of ESPN joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, thanks a lot, as always, for coming on. You're on with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here on a Saturday in for Matt Steinmetz. So what's up, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. What do you make of Anthony Davis in his media session from earlier today, and he's trying to dial back, you know, the teams that he would supposedly go to versus not. Now it's all 29 other teams. I mean, is it semantics? Is he just drawing the line between, yeah, sure, I'd go play 1 year with whoever they trade me to, but it really boils down to, you know, who he will or won't sign an extension with beyond that year?
No, I mean, listen, the bottom line is what he said in his press conference, which is that he said the Celtics are on his list. I mean, they can spin afterward by having him go and do another interview where he said all 29 teams are on his list, which is stupid.
Right.
I mean, the truth is the whole thing going up to the trade deadline was what? Are the Celtics on his list or not? You know, Rich Paul and his camp were saying that no, he was not on the, they were not on the list. And if they were not on the list, would the Celtics be willing to trade a lot of assets to get Anthony Davis if they weren't sure he would stay? And if they're on his list and he wants to play with Kyrie Irving, then they got a really good chance to keep him. And therefore, the chances of them not trading for him, which already were slim because they wanted to take the run at it anyway, just took another significant decrease. So, you know, all the other noise aside, I think that is the single most important thing to come out of this, that Anthony Davis has, you know, on the record publicly said he's fine with playing in Boston. And that really changes the ballgame for these guys.
Tim, let me ask you this. This year with the draft, Team LeBron and Team Giannis being televised, last year so much was made of who was picked where and all this rampant speculation about where guys went, and God forbid somebody was the last player picked. I think this year you took so much of the sting out of it, and I thought it was such a better way to handle it. Just televise it, have a little bit of fun with it, and yeah, somebody's going to get picked last. Who cares? You're still an all-star. What'd you make of the change this year, and just how you feeling about this format?
Yeah, I mean, it only made sense that they would do that. Last year, they were a little too panicky about, you know, trying to protect people's images. I think you saw this year it was perfectly fine to do it this way.
And, right.
You know, ideally, you do it on the court right before the game. But, you know, if you want to do it this way and have a little fun with it, I think it certainly worked out to be good for everybody.
You know, Tim, I want to go back to Anthony Davis. And just so what do we take from his comments moving forward? The Celtics are in play now. The Celtics would offer more now. I mean, do you think he winds up with the Celtics because they have the most pieces? I mean, it is a game changer. How do you think it becomes a game changer as we start to shift toward the offseason when he can obviously be dealt again?
I thought he was always going to be a Celtic because they had the most stuff to trade for him, and I did frankly buy the narrative that he wasn't going to play for the Celtics to begin with. Look at the teams that were on his list. You go down the list, right? Milwaukee, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Lakers. What are they all in common? They either have a star or the ability to get a second star. Well, Kyrie Irving is a star who was friends with him. Up until a couple weeks ago, all the indications were he wanted to play with, you know, including from the Celtics side. The Celtics always thought he wanted to play with him. So I never really bought the line that this was not something that that he was going to be opposed to doing. And I think the fact that he said that today, you know, should really only reinforce the fact that, you know, if he's going to get traded somewhere, I think you have to look at the Celtics as a very heavy favorite to do it because, again, unless the Knicks get Zion Williamson in the draft and maybe that opens up the door for them, they have the most stuff to trade in a deal for him, and that should make them the most likely team to get him.
I want to ask you this, Tim. This is kind of a big picture question about just this season in the NBA. It almost feels like collectively around the NBA, the rest of the teams are acknowledging that the Warriors are going to win the title this year. And barring, I would think, one, probably even two injuries, that's how it's going to go down. Can you ever remember a year like this where it was just so obvious who was probably going to win the title? And it almost seems like all the moves that are being made are all geared towards what happens next year and beyond. And it's almost like this year is just being conceded as the Warriors' three-peat season?
The last two.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it more magnified this year, though, or is it just this is just the status quo as it's been the last two?
No, it's. I would say things are different this year because LeBron isn't in the West or isn't in the East anymore, so these teams have an opening. And also, you know, I think people do see the end of the line with Anthony Davis potentially leaving town. And or not Anthony Davis leaving town, with Kevin Durant leaving town, I think that opens the door for for these teams to try to make moves to get something done and set themselves up for contention in the future.
Tim Bontemps of ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, I know you originally had picked the Lakers, I believe, to miss the playoffs. As it stands right now, they would miss the playoffs given everything going on around them. Do you think, in fact, that will hold true and they will miss the playoffs, or do you think they figure out a way to sneak in there?
I think when you look at the way their schedule plays out, they have 25 games remaining. 18 of them are against teams that are in the playoffs. They have a bunch of games on the road. I think the combination of everything together certainly would lead me to believe that, you know, they're not going to make it. Now, you know, maybe LeBron will go on a crazy run and get them into the playoffs because he is LeBron James. He's capable of doing that. But, I just think there's too many things stacked against them. And frankly, their team, I just don't think is good enough to have a good enough record over this stretch against this good a competition to get into the, you know, into the tournament at the end of the season.
Here at the break, Tim, who's your biggest disappointment in the NBA? What team has underachieved in your estimation so far the most?
I would actually probably say the Pelicans. I think, you know, I thought they had a chance to be a top four seed in the East or in the West this year, you know, with Davis. You know, last year, obviously, we saw them, you know, get to the second round to play the Warriors, you know, in a fairly competitive series. You know, they have had a ton of injuries, but, you know, to think that an Anthony Davis team was going to be, you know, I think 13th in the West right now. I mean, I think you have to look at them and look at them as a pretty big disappointment. I mean, earlier in the year, you could have said maybe a team like Houston, but they've rebound rather nicely. So I think New Orleans, you know, is probably the pretty heavy favorite for that one.
Tim, thanks a lot, man. As always, we'll let you get back to it. And great stuff this morning on everything going on around Anthony Davis.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Tim Bontemps checking in here on 95.7 The Game, as he does each and every week on Warriors This Week.
Yeah, that was interesting about the Pelicans. And yeah, they're 26-33. And I mean, if you think back to the first round last year and when we found out the Warriors were playing him in round two, you're like, oh, Mirotic and Davis. And will the size of the Pelicans bother the Warriors? And that was a reasonably competitive series, but I don't think it was ever in any doubt. That's for sure. I figured he would go with one of those teams in the East. And I mean, it's hard to say that a team like the Celtics or the Sixers at 37-21 are a disappointment, but they're 6.5 games out. Both of those teams are. And I think coming into the year, and correct me if I'm wrong, JD, you tell me, who did you have as the top two teams in the Eastern Conference? To me, it was Boston, then it was Philly. That's the way I kind of had it stacked up.
Yeah, I had Boston as the number one
in
the East, and number two, probably Philly.
Right. I think that was kind of the general consensus. The Bucks have surprised me with just how good they've been, and who knew what we were going to get with the Raptors. I mean, is Kawhi going to play? Is he going to be into it? They've obviously had a lot of influx. By the way, the Raptors, Pascal Siakam, dude, I could watch that guy ball all day, man. He's fun to watch. He's something else.
Really good. Really good player. Let's get to Gabby. Gabby in Oakland on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Damn it.
Great. Hey, I just wanted to talk really quickly about the whole KD leaving thing. I think the Warriors fans are pretty split down the middle as where the Warriors would stand after that. I would definitely have to say that I would put my money on Steph Curry leading any team because you know they're going to get a good bench. They've done a lot with those three guys. That's why everybody was so mad at KD that he came to such a great team. You did have to make some adjustments, but if you had Steph Curry balancing out the lack of Kevin Durant, he played in fourth quarters like James Harden, he'd be doing the exact same stuff with better results because he's so unselfish. So I would never count out the Warriors while these three guys are in their prime and better than they were before KD joined the team. And I know I really hope KD stays, but I wouldn't count out Steph Curry, Klay, and Draymond. Those guys, man, they're like the engine. They're so good.
Thanks, Gabby. Appreciate the phone call. I'm not counting them out.
No, you're not counting them out.
I'm just not making them the favorite.
You're taking the field.
And I would take the field.
That's a legit bet.
It'd be the first time in, I don't know how long, I would take the field. I'd probably since 2015 is probably the last time.
And if you're telling me, is the bet the Warriors versus the field, and I'm at the counter in Vegas, the smart money would probably be on the field. I just, somebody has, it's not the field that beats the Warriors. It's got to be a team that steps up and does it. It's got to be one team. And I'm just looking at the way these rosters are populated right now in the collection and just the way the star power is delineated around the league, which I think is a beautiful thing. I mean, hell, even a team like the Phoenix Suns, who are god awful, Booker and Ayton, that's worth my ticket, right, to go watch those guys play. I mean, they don't play any defense and they're god-awful, but I'm saying there's, even for the horrible teams in the NBA, there is a level of intrigue and a level of star power. That's kind of why it makes the Anthony Davis thing so unfortunate, because, boy, who the hell wants to go watch this team now once Davis leaves? But I just feel like 140 wins in two seasons and 31 playoff wins, and you're right, a couple years removed, I think that still speaks volumes to me. Plus, I mean, I got Lakeup in my corner, so I'm rolling with Lakeup.
888-957-9570. We still have Tim Roy coming up at 12:30. More of your phone calls as Warriors This Week rolls on with John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Ryan Covey with you until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Warriors This Week, as we are with you each and every Saturday here, is Covey in for Matt Steinmetz. Steiny will be back on Thursday as he's got a few days off here taking advantage of the All-Star break. And you're going to be on tomorrow. We should let everybody know that. This is your debut here at 95.7 The Game. You're going to be on tomorrow and you're going to be on the next couple of days after that.
Yeah, so we're rocking today. And again, thanks, JD. Appreciate it. Having a lot of fun, man. I'll be on solo tomorrow, 8 a.m. to noon. So you're out riding around, stop by and say hello. Give us a little, give us a listen, and we'll be putting together a great show. And then I will be hanging with Guru with the big fella, 10 a to 2 p, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it'll be 5 days of Covey right out of the gate, baby.
Tim Roy's going to join us at 12:30, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, as we talk everything Dubs and also All-Star Weekend. We were kind of throwing it around, you know, just where you would put the Warriors next season if Kevin Durant leaves. It just, we kind of got on this conversation of, if Durant leaves, where would that put the Warriors in the mix of everybody else? And I think, you know, my take on it is, as far as championships go, I would take the field at that point over the Warriors. Ryan, you're a little bit more open to, no, I think the Warriors would come out and have a chip on their shoulder and want to get it done. And
I'm loyal to the soil, JD. I'm loyal to the soil.
Win one more without him, which I just think would be very difficult for them to do 5 years after that first championship, and really 4 years after the 73-9. I just think you start stacking those years on top of each other. And I know you'd add other players.
Sure.
Not Anthony Davis, not Kawhi Leonard. You wouldn't be able to keep DeMarcus Cousins in this scenario.
Do I get Kemba Walker or no? Can't get Kemba either.
I don't know where you'd play Kemba Walker.
That's true. But, yeah, you're right. I'm just trying to add star power.
But no, it would be
yeah,
know,
that's true.
An average
three man
and a couple of bench pieces.
Yeah, we'll go like with Monte, Steph, and Clay back in the day. Smaller backcourt, baby. Come on, we'll go three littles.
And the original core of Curry and Clay Thompson and Draymond Green. You can still have Iguodala and Livingston if you want them for one more year. I think you're going to have Iguodala no matter what.
Yeah.
He's played well this year.
You nailed it with the last caller. He's not even 16. You know how many, Andre Iguodala wants to play golf every day for the rest of his life when he retires, I would imagine. And $16 million, that buys him a lot of rounds of
golf. The whole point of the hard line negotiating that he put the Warriors through a couple of years ago, when you know he was maybe going to Houston, maybe going to Sacramento, had a large offer for him, to just be kind of a mentor type player. The whole point of the hard line negotiation, and if you remember, Bob Myers really had said that he made him sweat. Like he kind of worked him in a sense to get that third year, to get that $16 million. The whole point you do that is for the third year and the extra $16 million. You don't go through all that and then say, you know what, I'm going to retire. You guys can have that money back unless you're really hard up. And I don't think, you know, Iguodala's, if anything, he's shown this year that he's playing at a higher level than maybe the last 2 years.
Yeah, we've gotten playoff Iguodala in the regular season, and nobody's more aware of Andre Iguodala's needs than Steve Kerr and when to play him, when to rest him. Steve Kerr has handled this whole situation masterfully. I mean, really the same thing with Livingston, too. I think because the Dubs, JD, have so much star power and there's so many different angles, I think it's so easy to forget about Sean Livingston and just his tale and his journey in the NBA. I mean, the guy played, I think he played for 10 teams in 10 years. I think it was that drastic for Sean Livingston, just the journeyman status after being such a high draft pick and having such a bright future. And then for the role that he plays here, it's one of those, it's almost underappreciated until it matters most in the playoffs. And, you know, that mid-range game gets going and you've got that veteran experience. But I think that's part of why I would be inclined to lean the Warriors' way in that situation next year and have them as my favorites, because in a game seven, even on the road at Houston, playing against the Lakers with all those young players, against any team, Oklahoma City, I got Iggy, I got Livingston, I got Curry, I got Clay, I got Draymond. Yeah, give me that five against your five in the NBA on any roster right now. Yeah, I'm taking the Dubs, 100%.
Joe in San Francisco at 888-957-9570. You can weigh in, 888-957-9570. That's where Joe joins us here on Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Ryan, JD, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me. Hey, if KD leaves, KD does leave. I mean, there's nothing we can really do about it. But, you know, the outside chance that DeMarcus may stay just because of the fact that, you know, say he's not 100% after the playoffs, you know, I mean, he could increase his value by hanging around one more year. And once he gets that ring, who knows what he's going to think after that. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, none of these championships would have happened either without Draymond Green being on this team. You know, I mean, he's the heart and soul of this team as far as, you know, pushed him down the court and everything like that. And I think if KD did leave, Steph would definitely step up. And, you know, I mean, he's already the leader of the team, but he would make it really well known that he's the man to deal with. And that's about what I got, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Good
appreciate
stuff.
It. I just don't see DeMarcus Cousins staying. But I guess you can't rule it out.
Can he get like 120% raise, I think it is? That's the most they can pay him?
He would go from, what, 5'2 to 6'3, I think, in terms of million.
It really depends on what kind of shape he looks like into the playoffs and really what he looks like at the end of the playoffs. I mean, if he has any kind of a setback or anything. And, you know, maybe the phone wasn't ringing for him this last offseason. I mean, we know why, but we'll see what the market's like for him this offseason. Because even if the Warriors as a collective group have success, and even if Boogie as an individual has some success, a lot of the league could chalk it up to, well, how could you not have success with that group of players? And I do think there's an element of this, and I want to get your take on this, JD. Do you feel like because the Warriors have been through this with Kevin Durant and indoctrinating a star player and making him feel welcome, and remember early in the first season with Durant, it was like, oh, is this meshing? And it was comical to me because it's like, yeah, they're just kind of figuring this out. But I feel like this group has taken it upon themselves because they appreciate DeMarcus coming here, you know, in a rehab situation, taking less money, and obviously he wants to win a ring, and just what he's got on the line here financially beyond this season. But I feel like they've gone out of their way to integrate him into the flow of the offense to make sure that he knows, hey, you're a part of this, and we want to make sure that you're real comfortable. Maybe even at times, like, to their detriment, which would be in the normal flow of their offense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's been a little of that.
A little force feeding it?
Yeah, I think there's been a little of that at times. I think it's actually maybe happened less than I thought it was going to happen.
Okay.
Especially at the very beginning. I mean, I know those first couple of possessions, they really did it.
Sure.
In L.A. I just think he hasn't totally looked comfortable as far as his post game goes.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I think he's looked comfortable shooting the three ball. He's had varying degrees of success. There's games where he's hit threes. There's games where he hasn't hit threes. I'm not sure what to make. Like, I know Steiny says this all the time. He thinks Cousins has already shown enough to where somebody's going to give him $15 million, for at least 1 year next year. Like,
sure.
He's at least a 1 year $15 million kind of a contract for the 2019-20 season. I don't know that I've seen that yet. I think we're getting close to that point, but he's convinced, oh, no, that's like somebody will give him $15 million or maybe slightly more, and then that'll take it completely off the Warriors' radar as far as next year goes.
Yeah, didn't the Lakers give Timofey Mozgov like 4 and 60 a couple of years ago?
They did, and that was the summer where everything
I know,
went
the TV money kicked in. I know, but I'm just, my point is, if Timofey Mozgov can get 15 annually, DeMarcus Cousins can,
yeah,
at least for a year. And it's kind of it's a funny time in the NBA with the shift in the dichotomy of the 3-point shooting is at a premium, and big men, you know, as compared to like bygone eras of like Ewing and Hakeem, the big men have been in Shaq, they've been devalued to a certain level, but I still think a quality big has a real part to play and can be such a dominating force. I mean, look at some of these lines for guys like Towns and Davis, you know, the true great bigs in the game, and just the way that they can still dominate and take over a game. I don't think that you can sleep on that kind of value to a team, especially in a half court set. But your point is very well taken. He's got to get that post game going if he's going to ever show his true value to this team.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the last thing to come. That and being able to play, let's say, 30 to 32 minutes, which is something that is probably more important to DeMarcus at this point, showing that he can do that than even the team. I think there's a little bit of a pull there between the two where, you know, he wants to play, let's say, the first 6 minutes of each quarter.
Right.
6, 6, 6, 6, so 24 minutes. And then I think he wants to be playing the last 3 minutes of the second and fourth quarter as well. Like, you know, play the first 6 of the second quarter, take about a 3-minute rest, come back for the final 3 minutes of the second quarter, do the same thing in the fourth quarter, play the final 3 minutes of the game, and then that's how you get to your 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, and then maybe you're extending out another minute here or there to get maybe into that 32 range. So I think there's still a little bit of a pull going on between the two to where, you know, he could show and wants to show that he's capable of doing that. I think, one, to help this team, but I think, two, it's also to show the other teams in the league that he can be a beyond 30 minute a night, you know, type of a player and be effective in helping a team like the Warriors win. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. This is the final hour of Warriors This Week here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey with you until 1 o'clock. Tim Roy is going to join us coming up at 12:30 as we get you into this All-Star weekend going on in Charlotte. The Warriors back in action not until Thursday when the Sacramento Kings come to Oracle. Fourth and final meeting between those two teams on the season. And right out of the chute, a couple of fun ones. The Kings are at Oracle. And then the Rockets are at Oracle before the Warriors hit the road again for an East Coast swing that's actually going to take them back to Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe Curry should just leave some stuff there, leave a pair of kicks or something. Yeah, I love the couple of games that we'll have here right out of the break. Just to circle back to DeMarcus for a moment, 11 games so far, if you haven't checked his stats lately, he's averaging 23.4 minutes a game. So like you said, JD, just right around 24, 13.9 points a game and 6.8 boards, 3.7 assists. So the production has been good, not to the level we've seen DeMarcus in his career. I mean, we know he's a 20-10 guy minimum when he's going right. I think for DeMarcus, what he has on the line is even bigger than like what Kevin Durant has on the line this year. And what I mean by that is whether Kevin Durant stays or whether Kevin Durant goes, he's getting paid, right? I mean, he's getting the blank check. He's getting maxed out. Same thing with Clay. And probably when Draymond, addresses his contract, probably going to be more of the same. With Cousins, guy's never played in a playoff game. So he's got an opportunity, first of all, to have his first postseason experience. He's got a chance to win a ring and to be a starter on a team that wins a ring. And he's playing for a contract. This is an audition for him for the rest of the NBA. DeMarcus Cousins has a ton riding on this. And make no mistake about it. You know better than anybody with your roots in Sacktown. His image needed a little bit of rehab and around the league. Now, he's done everything pretty right so far. And if there's any group of guys to get the best version of DeMarcus Cousins, it's got to be this team, because if you're the rest of the NBA, if you're a GM around the league and you're like, oh, wait, you couldn't make it work there?
Yeah, then it's a wrap.
Right,
really.
It's done. So he knows better than anybody. His feet are to the fire, and this is his time to audition. Now, if he has to take a mulligan this year and then come back next year and get his 120% raise, whatever it is, and play another season with the Warriors, then he's another year older. He's another year further removed away from the last time he was an All-Star.
There's just too much that can go wrong.
Right, exactly. You can re-aggravate.
Or you have a different injury, and then you just become kind of an injury-prone player.
You have a blow-up on the court. I mean, there's so much that can go wrong. So for DeMarcus, he's got to hit a home run. Like now, the next 3 months, probably the most important of his career.
And I think that's why you're seeing maybe a little bit of the good-natured, let's say, frustration over the minutes restriction. I mean, I do think that's something that probably burns him more than more than he's let on. And he's done it with kind of a smile, like
the wry smile.
It's all good. Yeah, you can't take me out of that game. But I think and they're winning too. Like that's the other thing. I mean,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.